so powerful, so strong. Humans are programmed to survive. There is no right or wrong way to be. You have to figure out what works for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of my podcast. Today I want to discuss getting through the holidays guilt-free and not coming out the other end a different version of yourself, a version of yourself you don't recognize. How can you have it all, go to the parties and eat the foods and drink the drinks, and not come out a massive blob the other side? The strategy of I'll fix it next year isn't a good one. So I want to talk about how you can kind of include all these parties, all the foods you're going to eat, everything that goes along with these parties, and burn off this excess energy we have stored in our body, this fat. So we have to kind of get this in alignment, in check first, before we can kind of add another load to it. And that's usually what happens, what things go wrong, is because we're already consuming more than we're expending. And so then the holidays come around and we just add even more to that. And then, you know, we come out the other end way bigger than we would like. This is the first part, is kind of getting that in balance. Why I say no one should ever feel bad or guilty is because we're programmed to overeat. And I've talked about this before. And so I won't go into great detail about it. But, you know, we have to cover it in order to discuss getting through the holidays and some techniques you can use to survive them without putting on too much weight. So we need to align our diet with our goals. And for me right now, you know, I want to get a little bit leaner, and the holidays are coming up and I don't want to miss out on anything. So I have to come up with a strategy of how I'm going to do that. And it's very easy. It's not a massively difficult thing. So I don't want you to worry or panic about it or think that it's, you know, going to be this big task and you're going to miss out on anything, because I don't believe you should miss out on anything. I mean, last night alone, I went out to dinner and had 2 glasses of wine. I ate pasta. I had some crab. I had dessert. Had an ice cream sundae. That was a lot of food. And I'm still trying to lose weight. So we'll discuss kind of how I do that and still hit my goals. So why are we kind of out of alignment with our goals? And there's a few reasons for this. Our programming, which I mentioned we'll get into. But there's also the conditioning of society. I was curious about this, so I looked it up, like, where does breakfast, lunch, and dinner come from? Why are those such a strong ideas that we should eat at these times, 3 times a day? And now, obviously, you know, there's other ideas of eating 6 times or 8 times a day. But if we come from programming, a time where food wasn't so readily available, it wasn't like we had a schedule we could eat on, we had to have made up this concept. And so I looked back and, you know, what I found out is, like, during the Roman times, you know, people would eat 1 meal a day, you know, usually in the evening. And then, you know, as religion kind of came in, there was this idea that after your religious activities in the morning, you would have to break the fast. So then a meal came in, like, early in the day. And then after that, the interesting part is that then the Industrial Revolution came along. And they needed people to work in the factories. And so they thought, oh, we give them food beforehand so they'll have more energy to work. Then middle of the day, let's give them some more food so they can complete the afternoon. And then there's the normal meal at night, which everyone ate. And so this is where the idea of 3 meals a day, the breakfast, lunch, dinner, came from, was really based on the factory schedule. So we kind of went with that concept and it became part of our society, especially in the Western society. I know other cultures have different ideas about it, but I'm speaking mostly about the Western culture. And what I found with myself is that I would get to one of these times of day and think, oh, I better eat or I'm going to run out of energy. That was my thinking, that I'm going to crash and not be able to make it through the day. Where if you really think about it, that's kind of ridiculous, because we're designed to run out of food. We wear our meals on our body. We have fat that we can convert into energy and keep us alive. Like, that's an incredible design. Like, that's well thought out. The only problem is we don't live in an environment where that's necessary anymore. So we have an abundance of food and we're always consuming it, but we still have this system in place that's preparing for times where we may not get it. There's a difference between nutrition and energy in terms of foods you consume. You know, you've heard it talk about nutritionally dense food or empty calories. Now, empty calories are not empty calories. I mean, they're calories full of energy. We just don't often need them. So it's better to think of foods that have a lot of nutritional density. That means there's a lot of vitamins and minerals in them. And so the body can break them down and utilize them for healthy cells. So our cells need nutrition to grow and multiply and do all the things that they do to keep us alive. Our cells are always replicating. You need to have healthy cells so they replicate well and correctly. These are foods like healthy salads or things that were alive as recently as possible. Obviously, you don't have control over it if you're buying the stuff in the supermarket, but there's just the distinction between something that was alive and something that's packaged or processed. There's more nutrition in something that was just alive recently. So salads and broth soups and even protein shakes and things like that that have a lot of nutrition in them. That's the difference between nutritionally dense food and empty calories, which is something like, you know, starchy carbs, which is a lot of energy, but there's not often a lot of nutritional density to them. Recently, there's been a lot of study into the links of overeating or high caloric diets and diseases like cancer. It's also apparent where people look at blue zone states, which are places around the world where a large percentage of the population are living to over 100. And one of the common factors is a very low calorie diet. Okay, so how do we go into the holiday season with all these extra calories that we're going to consume and still make it out the other end even fitter than we were? Not just maintaining, but let's think about getting fitter. What I think a good strategy to this is, and if you have the time, is to sort of like think about a pregame. These foods, these party foods, these unhealthy foods, whatever you want to call them, they stress the body. It's difficult for the body to process them, to deal with them. And so you want to think about giving the body a little bit of a break before you start this holiday season. And you can do it any time of the year, but I'm talking specifically about the holiday season just because we're going into it now. Space in the closet. Like you're going to buy you're going on a shopping spree and all the hangers are taken and you buy all these clothes, you got nowhere to put them. So you got to clear a little space first. But it's not only you want to lose some weight before you go into the holiday season. It's also you want to give the body a break so it can recover. And we have an idea. A lot of people that I've seen have an idea that they get to these fun foods, these party foods, and that's like a reward. And if you take it away, they're being restricted. We kind of have to flip the thinking on that. You know, you may enjoy these foods, which is fine. I don't think you should take them out. But you got to think of them as they're stressful on the body. And so when you eat healthy foods, light, healthy foods, that's actually recovery for the body. And so just know, okay, I want to be in this state of function, so my body's thriving, and then I go out and I add extra food or these certain types of food, and it's going to stress my body, then I got to recover again. So it's almost like I get a break from these foods and I get to flood my body with nutrition. So it's just a little shift you want to go through with that mentality. So what do you do on this little break? Well, one, you know, don't overeat, don't eat a ton of food, but you want to remove irritants like caffeine and dairy, sugar, starchy carbs, alcohol, anything that kind of stresses the body and the body has to deal with and filter and get rid of, or that it'll convert as energy. So remove those out and then add healthy foods, green salads, green juices, broth soup, protein shakes, things that are like really healthy. And again, like I said, things that were alive recently, you know, vegetables and protein. I'm not against eating meat if you want to eat meat at all. So lean protein can, I think, be very healthy. The other thing you want to do is drink crazy amounts of water. We never drink enough water. And so make sure that you have plenty of water. Now, I try and hit 3 liters per day of water. But especially when you're trying to recover, you want to use the water to kind of flush out toxins and things that are in the body. here's a concept that's interesting for people. You know, I talked about kind of the structure of eating that we learned and we had adopted during the industrial age. But another concept to think about is only eating when you're hungry. And now that brings up the question, how do you know when you're hungry? And we all have signals in our body that indicate to us that we're hungry and we act on these signals. But what are your signals? How do you know that you're hungry? It could be a sensation you have. A lot of people that I ask, it's a feeling that they're like headaches or dizziness, lightheadedness. And what that is the body's trying to send you signals to eat. It's also starting to power down a little bit because it's always in a state of panic that it may not get food. So it's trying to conserve this. Now, just because you're getting these signals doesn't mean you need food. If you have more weight on your body than you want, then you know you have enough energy. You're not going to run out of energy. Just think about what your signals are and what kind of motivates you to eat. And some of them can be, oh, it's lunchtime, I should eat. Or I'm not going to eat for the next few hours, I better eat something now so I can make it through that time. The other thing you want to do is make sure you get lots of sleep during this pregame, this recovery. And it doesn't have to be long. I mean, it can be 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever time you can put to it and just kind of be really healthy for that time. You also want to exercise during that time because that stimulates the circulatory system. That's our nutritional transport system and waste removal. And so it gets kind of everything flowing and filtered and moving around the body. Stagnation is one of the worst things for the human body that there is. So make sure you keep moving. It also burns off some extra energy and keeps you in balance. But we're looking just to kind of have a few days to recover before you kind of get into all these parties. Okay, so we got the pregame down. Now let's talk about kind of how it all works together, our structure, the framework. How does all that work? And why is there such a struggle? So many of my clients that I talk to about getting fit, they're coming from a perspective of, what are you going to take away from me that I love? Or what are you going to make me do that I hate? So there's already a barrier before the conversation even starts. But if we look a little bit deeper, why is there that barrier there? Why is there that struggle? What are we fighting against? The fitness industry is always telling us to fight and work and you know, break through. But what are we fighting against? What is that that's in the way? And part of it is our survival instinct. We're programmed to survive. We're programmed to overeat. We're programmed to be attracted to higher caloric foods, to salty foods. And our body's efficient at storing fat, storing this energy, and it doesn't like to get rid of it. It's very valuable for it. So it's not even efficient at it. The other support part of it is that there's this pleasure mechanism, this feedback loop, which covers up the feelings. And I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but basically, you know, we eat these foods that are high caloric and we get these positive reinforcements for them. And if they're removed, we get kind of negative reinforcements. And, you know, in the form of like a thought or there's a cascade of hormones which give us our feelings and then we have a reaction to it. And so we get pleasure when we eat these foods. And there's certain feelings that we don't want to experience, you know, stress, sadness, loneliness. So we find something that will give us a different set of feelings, which is food. And so we eat to cover these up. So if you had a stressful day at work, you're going to eat to create a different feeling. And sometimes what happens with people is that they want to lose weight, then they have a stress feeling that they cover up with food, and then they feel guilty because they ate too much food, and so they're not going to lose weight. And now they got a new feeling of guilt, and so they want to cover that feeling, so they go and eat more, and then it creates this vicious cycle. So you shouldn't feel guilty about what you eat or how you eat or anything like that. You're being controlled by these instincts. And so if you just kind of get awareness of these, you gain the control. And so guilt is a terrible thing to feel because there's no right way to be. There's no ideal. Yeah, there's healthy and unhealthy, but you got to choose what works for you. On top of this instinctual operating system, we have our own mechanism. It's the decision-making part. And it's how we justify ourselves into making these decisions that don't align with the goals we want. So many of us know the right answer. We know that we shouldn't eat the whole pizza if we're trying to lose weight. We know that we should get up and exercise. But we have a very clever way of justifying our reasons for not following these rules. And these are all unique to us. But it's pretty easy to figure out what yours are just by putting these restrictions in place or doing something like an exercise, like decide to exercise, and this little voice in your head will suddenly pop into action and try and get you out of it. To find yours, do something like, okay, I'm not going to eat dinner tonight. I'm going to just have celery or whatever it is, whatever feels like a restriction to you. And then when you get to that point, you're going to have these little voice in your head telling you, oh, don't do that. It's bad for you, or it's going to mess you up, or I will just eat less tomorrow. Whatever works for you, your brain's going to have that conversation with you. And so you got to start watching this at the decision point. What's your justification at that point when you know the right answer? We're really excellent at getting ourselves out of these tricky situations. We don't like things to be our fault. And one of the places we put the blame is on the food industry. Oh, they're putting out all this food that's so bad for me and that's what's available. Yes, that's partially true. But the reason they're doing it is because they're just a reaction to this survival instinct, this attraction to these higher caloric food, these fatty foods, salty foods. And so we have a taste for them. So they're giving us what we want, even though we don't want the results from it. Recently, I've heard discussion in the world of programming genes where they can actually turn off the gene, or they're trying to turn off the gene so we don't store fat, which I think is going to be very dangerous because a lot of us eat healthy because we don't want to gain weight. So when that is off the table, when we don't gain weight, we're not going to eat a lot of healthy foods, and then all these other diseases are going to come into play. Okay, back to the holiday season. Say it's coming up, Thanksgiving's around the corner, or Christmas, whatever the holiday is. You've done your three-game break. You took a few days off. You got healthy, whatever it was. You understand your control mechanism around food. Now what? Okay, now it's game time. You got a party coming up. What do you do? You want to think about nutrition as fuel for yourselves. Don't think about the food at these parties as your meal for the day. Food should sustain us. Yes, it also gives us a lot of pleasure. That's why I don't think you should cut out these foods that give you a lot of pleasure. But you got to get the nutrition in first. So before you go to one of these parties, eat a salad, drink green juice, have some broth soup, have something healthy. This will also prevent you from showing up to these parties starving, where you want to just consume everything. Now, at the party, you know these foods are not going to be your meal, but you still want to experience these foods. The way I like to think of it is the way you would go wine tasting. You're very specific about it when you're wine tasting. You smell the wine, you swirl the wine, you taste a little bit, you rinse it around your mouth, and you see what flavors are in it. You don't have to be that elaborate, but just think of these foods where you go in and you take a bite and really experience that bite. You know, a lot of us don't really think about all the ingredients that go into that food to give it the flavor. So play a game where you try and figure out what you're eating, what all goes into it. You'll end up enjoying your food more, and you'll stay at the same pace as everyone else because you're eating a lot slower. You just won't have consumed all the food. A lot of us also have hang-ups about waste, which I understand. You know, I don't think you should waste food. But if there's a person, a chef, who's decided on a portion size, which is often based on plate size, which are plates, I think, increased by 4 inches in the last 30 years or something like that. Anyway, the plates have got bigger. And so the chefs or cooks, whoever's preparing your food, wants to give you perceived value. So it's going to fill the plate. And so they're deciding on the portion size. And if we don't consume all that, we feel like we're wasting food. If I don't eat as much, I'm going to be healthier in the future, and so I'll have less medical expenses. And being sick is a big stress on kind of all the social systems, hospitals and doctors and all that. And so it's more expensive in the future. So It's not really wasting if you think about it, but there are things you can do to eat less. Share a plate with someone, take the rest home. The idea of when we should eat and how much we should eat is not really based in reality anymore. It's based on perceived value and the idea that we're going to run out of energy. So the way I like to do it is think of calories on a weekly basis, not a daily basis. If I go to a party and I have, you know, I eat more than I was going to, or I drink more than I was going to, I don't have to eat so much the next day. I can have a lighter day and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine because I have enough energy stored in me anyway. And now I have consumed more calories and so I want to utilize them. So they're floating in my blood as triglycerides waiting to be used. And if I can use them in that time, they won't get stored as fat. And I don't agree with calorie counting. So a lot of this is just figuring out kind of how your body works, how efficient it is at storing fat. I'm very good at storing fat. If I just ate what I wanted to eat, I would be massive. So I got to know kind of what worked for me in my week. And it took a lot of trial and error. I had to first figure out where these ideas came from of how I should eat and when I should eat. And start to understand when I was feeling hungry and what were just signals my body was giving me because it wanted more calories. And once I started to understand this, there was a much clearer picture of what I should eat and how much I should eat. And I think we can get to the point where you get very sensitive to kind of what your body needs and we can stay on track much better. There is the social aspect of it where, you know, we're herding animals, we're social animals, so we want to get together. And one of the ways we get together is by eating. And if I don't eat or I eat less, I make someone else feel bad. That's also wrapped up in all this. And so I want to use the techniques I mentioned earlier, so then I don't make someone feel bad for not doing it. Not that you're responsible for how someone feels, but if that is a concern for you, there's ways to do it where people don't really even notice that you're not eating as much as them. So thinking of calories on a weekly basis, kind of how I deal with, you know, with days like Thanksgiving, you know, where I'll eat so much food. I'll maybe pre-game it. I'll eat less, eat clean the day before. Then during the day, I'll just eat whatever I want. I won't even restrict myself at all. And then the next day, I'll know that I kind of have excess now. And so I can start to use it up. And it may, you know, it may be 2 or 3 days. The other thing to keep in mind is that you may feel hungrier the next day, and there's reasons for that, which is probably you stretched your stomach and the body's had a taste of this food, so it's going to send you stronger signals to get them. So you got to be good at deciphering what's real and what's not real for you. The other interesting thing is that you can become more efficient at metabolizing fat. Like I said, the body doesn't really like to break down fat and use it, and it's not very good at it. It's kind of a cumbersome process, has to, you know, use lipase to break down the fat cells to convert them to triglycerides, and then you can utilize them. So it's not an easy process, but you can actually become more and more efficient at it. And I did this for myself, and I've done it with a lot of my athletes I work with, the endurance athletes, where we'd go on a bike ride, and usually I'd have to have a, you know, breakfast before I got on my bike, and then I'd have some food along the way, and then I'd eat right afterwards, to condition myself to not need it. And I started off not eating before I went on my ride. And then like an hour in, I'd start to feel, you know, the weak, you know, headaches and getting kind of weak and not really being able to focus. And I would at that point usually eat. But what I did, I kind of pushed through it. I just kind of went easy and kind of relaxed and took a break. And about 15, 20 minutes later, my body sort of recovered from it. It's like it realized that it wasn't going to get these foods. So it kind of figured it out. And I found out that every time I cycled, if I didn't consume these calories, that I could get further and further. Until now, where I don't eat breakfast, I go for sometimes a 60-mile bike ride, and I don't eat during the bike ride, and I don't even need food afterwards, because my body is now more efficient at metabolizing this fat. There was also an experiment that was done with Muslim athletes, two groups of Muslim athletes. One group exercised at night. It was during Ramadan. One group would eat and then exercise at night, train at night, and the other group would eat after sundown and then not exercise till the next day. So they were exercising in a fasted state. Both groups had the same fitness gains, but the difference was the group that exercised in a fasted state burned more calories from fat, which makes sense because that's what was available. It didn't have the triglycerides, it had fat, so it converted fat. Your body can become more and more efficient at metabolizing fat. Sometimes along with these parties comes the occasional hangover. And what's happening is that, you know, we have a raised toxicity level. We have a mild version of alcohol poisoning in our brain. And our brains have been numbed by the alcohol, and then we're kind of coming off it. So we're going through sorts of withdrawals. So the next day you can use a technique like hair of the dog, have a little bit of alcohol so you come down off it slowly so you don't feel as bad. You want to make sure you drink in a ton of water, a lot of fluids, and get hydrated, because typically we're dehydrated after a big night out. And what also feels good is to eat high fatty foods, which if that makes you feel better, that's fine, eat it. Just know, if you look at your week, okay, I ate more than I needed to then, so I got to eat less somewhere else. Okay, so to review, you want to do a pre-cleanse or pre-healthy eating. You don't even call it a cleanse, as some people have an association with that that kind of stresses them out. So label it however you want. Nutrition first. Know your mechanism. Know your justifications. When you go to these parties, taste the food. Don't think of it as your meal. Eat when you're hungry. Figure out what signals your body gives you. People tell me that, oh, my stomach grumbles. There's not really any association with the noise your stomach makes and hunger. Usually when the stomach is empty with food, you're going to hear noises more, but it doesn't mean you're hungry or you're running out of energy. Think of calories on a weekly basis. Slow down your eating, become more present. Taste the food, you'll end up eating a lot less. And use healthy ingredients. Eat vegetables, eat things that were alive recently. Where you can, use healthier oils, use whatever you can fit into your budget, what's available to you. Just think about kind of using healthier ingredients, and that's another way to kind of be healthier through the holidays. And it's as simple as that. I know it's not easy, but with some understanding of the way your body operates and knowing that you're not going to run out of energy, you can condition your body to eat in a more natural way, which is eating when you're hungry, not based on a made-up structure of needing 3 meals a day. The most important thing, don't stress about it. Don't feel guilty. Don't restrict yourself from everything. Just be smart about it and use these techniques I laid out, and you can have everything you want. You can go to that party and have pizzas, have 2 pizzas, have ice cream sundae, but just know you can't do that every day. The next few days, eat clean. Recover, go into recovery mode. It takes time, but we can all figure it out and get into balance. And then we can use exercise for what it should be for, which is to challenge the body and keep the body moving and adapting and feeling really good, and not just as a struggle to burn off too much food we're eating. Like always, go out there, live the hell out of life, have a good time, and stop stressing.